The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 496, recorded on March 12th, 2018.
Welcome to the 496th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and 329th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am TJ Denzer.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry and the gaming flashback.
So we're less Scott today, but this isn't the first time that the podcast only had two people in it. Although I will say I am seething mad right now.
Oh?
Because one, and this is going to get political, folks, Congress just dropped the investigation of Russian interference, and now we're getting news from the UK that Russia, in an attempt to assassinate an ex-spy, dropped a homemade, Russian-made nerve agent in a town of 40,000 people. And I want to see Trump say something bad about Putin on this. Because I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't stop with the UK. You know who's next.
I mean, what a mess. Yeah. The most I see Trump doing is going on and saying, this is very bad.
He's just
going
to walk away from the podium. That's what he did the last time. And the funniest thing is that he said that he's the harshest critic of Vladimir Putin. This is the same person who said it's terrible for elephants to be hunted by ivory and then signs a bill lifting the ban on those imports.
This is also the same guy who said he asked Putin if he interfered in our election, and Putin told him no, and so he just took him at his word.
Yeah. And, you know, the CIA prevented an assassination plot on Putin. Maybe they should just let him do it. Oops. Oh, what's that over there? Oh, that's interesting. Oh, he's dead. Oh, well. Have you seen The Death of Stalin?
No, I haven't.
Go see it. Forgetting any parallels to modern day, this is the film that Suicide Squad wanted to be. It is completely hilarious in a very, very dark way. And I will say, I forgot his name. Jeffrey Tambor is hilarious in it. And so is, he was from Fargo. Damn it. I forgot his name. He was in Boardwalk Empire too. Steve Buscemi, that's right. Steve Buscemi is hilarious as well. One of the interesting things is that the director told him, don't do a Russian accent, just do your natural accent. So the guy playing Kulov has a thick Cockney accent. I fucked Germany. What makes you think I'm cared about the flesh in a fucking waistcoat?
Wow.
Yeah. It's obviously banned in Russia.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I highly suggest, I didn't think I was going to enjoy it because all I heard was really black comedy, and I've had my fill of those, but like I said, it is everything that Suicide Squad wanted to be. Except set in 1953 in Russia. And there's no Amanda Waller. Anyway,
she was like,
go ahead.
She was like the best part of that film, though.
Not really.
No. I think so.
No.
I mean, among everything else going on, Amanda Waller was kind of the most interesting thing going on.
No, she was boring. Anyways, let's get back to what have you been playing, TJ?
Been going about my monster hunting in the Monster Hunter world.
Okay.
I ran into a big ass dragon. I cut its tail off. I rode it to a bunch of cats who tied it down.
That was actually its tail and not something else.
I climbed on its back and rode it over to a bunch of cats who then tied it down with vines so
cats?
I could pelt it in the face. Yes.
Cats?
Cats.
As in meow meow cats?
Yes. Bipedal cat people.
Okay.
Known as pelicos.
Okay.
Who then sort of held like it down with vines
from the Elder
while
Scrolls.
I proceeded to mash its face in with an axe.
Okay.
And it was a good time, had by all. Hmm. And it had it coming because it killed me like 3 times before I did that.
Is there only one of them in the game?
No, there's several of this particular one. It was Rathian. I'm not very far in the game. Rathian is about midway.
Okay.
I think. He's a big bad king of the skies in the ancient forest. He's a fire breathing poison dragon.
Right.
And he's also a complete dick.
Or at least he used to have a tail. So he's not so complete anymore.
I harvested that dragon.
Yeah. Wait, how long was the setup? Did you have to plan this? Obviously, you had to get the cat people's, what's it called, cooperation.
So that was by sheer mistake. Monster Hunter World has some interesting set pieces, like in the environment, where if you do something to the environment or something happens to the environment, then you can do some tremendous damage to a monster. In this particular instance, the Rathian's nest sits right in front of like a blocked waterfall, and during the battle, the rocks come loose from that waterfall and just sweep you both off of a cliff. And it like happens in real time in the map. Like this is part of the map happening as you're battling this thing. And that's what makes it kind of so cool, is like that's not a cutscene, that's not CG, that's just straight up you guys are fighting, things get crazy, some rocks come loose, and a waterfall sweeps you both away. And then you continue fighting.
Okay.
And I really enjoy it. I really enjoy that it's like there's so many surprises, so many different things that happen. Like every time I play that game, that I'm just so happy that it manages to just like shock me or get me.
You're
every
surprised.
Time.
I'm pretty sure Dragon was surprised you took its tail.
Yeah. He deserved it. Kept thwapping me with it.
Right. So I've been playing Need for Speed Payback. Here's the problem I have with it. It's okay, but if you're either going to be a racing game or you're going to be Burnout, choose one or the other. And using the Frostbite engine, if you ever played Battlefield, you know how bad that engine is for doing with vehicles. You know, it's not made for racing. EA thinks it's saving money by using the same engine on everything. It's not going to happen that way. You know, and Need for Speed Payback was probably a bomb. I can always go to VG charts, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't very. No one bought it. They have to understand that you know people want a specific type of game. I want Burnout, and I also want Burnout with the traffic missions. Where, if you don't know Burnout, the traffic missions were you take a car, you speed it up, and you aim it at a highway full of cars. And you try to create the biggest multi-car pileup possible. And see if you can make your car fly and crash into everything.
Yeah.
No, that's hella fun. Even more fun than a main game, actually. It's like an art form trying to max out your score with traffic missions.
Mm-hmm.
Or crash missions, I think they're called, actually. Either one. And I got a review copy of Pure Farming 2018.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So the difference between this and Farming Simulator is that Pure Farm actually has an extended tutorial mode. So people new to the type of game will have their hand held on how to do it. First, they'll teach you how to harvest the wheat, then how to put the wheat in the silo, then take the wheat from the silo, then sell it, and then buy new equipment and all that stuff, you know, get the sprayer, get the, so it's basically, you know, hand-holding you through, and it also has a free mode, you know, a free game mode as well, so you just do whatever. So, the only problem I have with it is the graphics are not as good as Farming Simulator 18. They seem like Xbox 360 graphics, which isn't good when you're playing it on an Xbox One X. But like I said, it's a little touches, like your tire treads will remain there, and the consistency of them and the color of them will change depending on what you do. So if you go from asphalt onto dirt and then back onto asphalt, it'll track some of the dirt onto the asphalt, realistically. Huh. You know,
it's a nice touch.
Nice touches, but the graphics are just... The skybox is one of the worst I've seen since the PlayStation 2.
Oh, yeah?
That's how bad the skybox is. And we're talking about playing in Montana to start with, and you really want a skybox for Montana, but no, it's just... I'm just thinking about that Russian thing. You think they're appreciating Brexit right now? I mean, about leaving? Anyways, so I'm getting into that, and it's one of those games which are going to be one of those, you know what, I just want to mellow out and listen to podcasts while I'm doing this sort of game. You know, it's like you're listening to your podcast while you have your thresher going over the wheat field, and you're going up and down it, you know, just each line of the field, very deliberately, you gotta get all your wheat. I haven't gotten to the part in which I'm raising cows and pigs and all that stuff yet. That'll be interesting. Especially since you have to make their food.
Yeah, I could never get it. I know a lot of people that really, 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 really get into games like Farm Simulator, Pure Farming. Euro Truck Simulator is one I hear about all the time.
That. Yeah. Actually, there's Bus Simulator, and that game has 16-player multiplayer. And basically, you get in a bus, and someone else gets in a bus, and you do your own routes, and you just chat over the line while you're doing your bus routes.
A lonely bus driver game. Wow.
But you know what? It's perfect for... for an internet party in which you're just talking about what you've been doing for the past couple of weeks, you know, sort of like it would be like a get together, except instead of playing air hockey, you're playing bus driver.
I feel like this is, I'm not slamming anyone that enjoys this game. I'm not slamming you. If that's relaxing, that's your jam. I have some games that I like that other people hate.
Yeah. Well,
but,
from what I understand, Monster Hunter World is slow and boring and grindy, and
these things are all true in certain perspectives. I hate how slow the combat is sometimes, but I feel like this bus simulator thing with the radio is sort of the natural evolution of that enthusiast who gets himself a CB radio and sets it up and just runs the scanner and sees who he finds.
You're recording, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that's what I've been playing. But like I said, I am actually interested in maybe getting into Euro Truck Driver. Just because, you know, I saw Yahtzee playing it, you know, for his Drown Out series. And all he did was drive over, I wouldn't say featureless, but just regular French highways. And mm-hmm. I think that's what I wanted. I want to be a trucker who is, you know, a trucker who is taking his load and getting other trucking loads and just driving over it, making sure you don't crash. This is a game in which you really want to avoid crashing, unlike something like Need for Speed, in which it's almost impossible not to crash, even if you want to. I will say this, you know, actually, in getting back to Pure Farming, if you have a tractor and you have a hookup, you cannot go backwards, because that'll just foul up because the trailer hitch doesn't work like that. You go backwards on a trailer hitch, it's just going to jackknife, you know, so if you want to go the other way, you're going to have to do a U-turn. Just do a U-turn. It's too much trouble it's too much trouble just to, and your truck will get caught on things, and that is annoying too. I will say.
Yeah,
that.
You know, I did play a game. One of the last games I reviewed was Spin Tires Mud Runner, and that was like an entire game built around car vehicles getting stuck in bad terrain.
I remember a game called Leadfoot, in which Leadfoot deals with cars that are not usually you'd think of. They're basically buggies, and a lot of it is mud, which is why it's called Leadfoot. And it's extremely. This is back in 2000. It was extremely accurate, so it's sort of like you had to account for everything, which actually reminds me of Brunswick Bowling, in which it was such an accurate bowling simulation. It would keep track of the wear of the oil in the lane. Because if you know bowling, you know the reasons why the balls are able to go slick is because there's an oil on top of the lane. But as that wears thin, it starts getting slower and slower for that part.
Yeah.
So that was the interesting part of it. What have you been playing, Scott?
I've been playing Dark Cloud 2, and it's just a lot to do in that game. So it's one of those RPGs that offers you like a lot of. It's not just side quests, but it's like side. Things to do, like upgrading your equipment, taking pictures for inventions, rebuilding cities. It's a lot.
So
it's a lot of work.
Farming. It's pure farming simulator, except in space. Or in
fantasy. There's no farming. you're not farming.
Oh well, there's something called Nom Nom Galaxy, in which you're in space and your mission is to make soup.
Oh.
TJ, any reaction?
Wait, what is the
Nom Nom Galaxy? It's by Pixel Junk. It's a space game in which you're making soup.
Interesting. This is is it like a Cooking Mama in space?
No, it's more like Fortress Craft. But the thing is that it actually has a win condition, but Yahtzee said you could game it just by making the cheapest soup and just making a billion of that soup. But yeah, it's about making soup in space and being the best soup entrepreneur in the galaxy.
Interesting. Yep. The soup Nazi of the stars.
Yeah. Anyways, we're going to get to a gaming flashback, and oh boy. We're going to talk about Spore.
A.K.A. Dicks on Legs creator.
it was actually called Sim Everything. It started life as Sim Everything, which basically describes it. So Spore is a 2008 live simulation, real-time strategy, single-player game developed by Maxis and designed by Will Wright, released for Microsoft Windows and Mac OS X. Covering many genres, including action, real-time strategy, and role-playing games, Spore allows a player to control the development of a species from its beginnings as a microscopic organism through development as an intelligent and social creature to interstellar exploration as a spacefaring culture. It has drawn wide attention for its massive scope. I'm going to put quotations around massive scope for a moment.
Yeah.
And its use of open-ended gameplay and procedural generation. Throughout each stage, players will be able to use various creators to produce content for their games. These are then automatically updated to the online Sporepedia and accessed by other players for download. Spore allows the player to develop a species from a microscopic organism to its evolution to a complex animal. I already said that, stupid Wikipedia. The game is broken up into different stages. The five stages are the cell stage, the creature stage, the tribal stage, the civilization stage, and the space stage. The outcome of one phase affects the initial conditions of the other and leveling facing the player in the next. Each phase exhibits its own style of play and has been described by the developers as 10 times more complicated than its preceding phase. I'm going to put that in quotation marks too. Phases often feature optional missions. Where the player completes a mission, they are granted a bonus, such as new ability or money. If all the player's creations are completely destroyed at some point, the species will be respawned at its nearest colony or at the beginning of the phase. Unlike many other Maxis games, Spore does have a primary win condition, which is obtained by reaching the supermassive black hole placed at the center of the galaxy and receiving a staff of life. However, the player may continue to play after any goal has been achieved. The first four phases of the game, if the player uses the editors only minimally, will take up to 15 hours to complete, but it can take as little as 1 or 2 hours. Note that there is no time limit for any stage. A player may stay in any single stage as long as they wish, and the progress to the next stage when ready. At the end of each phase, the player's actions cause the creature to be assigned a characteristic. Each phase has three characteristics, usually based on how aggressively or peacefully the phase was played. Characteristics determine how the creature will start the next phase and give it abilities that can be used later in the game. Spore was released after several delays to generally favorable reviews. Praise was given to the fact that the game allowed players to create customized creatures, vehicles, and buildings. However, Spore was criticized for its gameplay, which was seen as shallow by many reviewers. GameSpot remarked, individual gameplay elements are extremely simple. So, I was one of the biggest Spore enthusiasts. I got that big collector's edition. If you remember, it came in that white box. Mm-hmm. It was plastic and molded and had little microscopic creatures on it, on the box, and a big, thick manual. Remember those? Even 2008 manuals are going away, but this one had a nice manual. And an art book, and a bunch of other stuff that no one cares about anymore. And here's the problem. Back in the day, if you saw the initial Spore video done by Will Wright, you were amazed. Because he showed a creature in the water, and then, you know, as a blob, and then coming out, and then showing all the procedural generation, and when it was a creature, it showed how it could grab things and eat them, you know, and there was different commands for everything, like grab with your face and pull, and all that stuff, and ended up none of that was in the game. None of it. Everything that was great about what we saw was not really in the game. And there was a divide with Maxis during the game. And there were two camps on Spore. There were those in the science camp and those in the cute camp. Guess which camp won out? The cute camp was headed by Chris Hecker. If you don't know who that is, he's most famous for saying that the Wii was two GameCubes duct taped together. Which was true, but it didn't win him many friends. He turned out later on to be a complete asshole. But yeah, what I wanted was the scientific game. What I ended up with was a... And here's the thing. You know, the Spore Creature Creator was released a couple of months before it. And I was creating some great creatures that were big and lumbering, but when you imported in the game, they were loose-limbed and weak and just looked weird and nothing like you created in the editor, which is another disappointing thing. To say the game is shallow, you know, the cell phase was the only interesting phase to me. The cell and the space phase was also sort of interesting, because what you could do is you could drop a monolith on a planet and have those creatures all of a sudden become sentient and just watch them develop on their own. Oh, you could also destroy planets if you got the tech well enough, so you could go around being, you know, just going around blowing up planets like a little mini Death Star in your little spaceship. But what it turned out to be wasn't what people were expecting. They were expecting something a little more in-depth. The creature phase was disappointing because here's the thing. You never needed to eat. So long as you never got hurt, it's fine. Because your creature never needed to eat. The only reason it needed to eat was to heal if it was attacked.
And to grow.
Yeah, but you didn't need to do that to grow. You just needed to complete the little quest. Make friends with other animals.
I feel like you always got a little bit of experience if you ate something or someone.
You didn't need to eat.
I was disappointed with that game because it just felt, like you said, too cute. Too boiled down, too simplistic, and just not enough detail or customization. I felt like I was creating the same creature each time, and it was very, very disappointing.
So the tribal stage was a really dumbed down RTS, and the civilization stage was a really dumbed down civilization game. And when I say dumbed down, I mean the basics. I mean, you went through them just because they were so boring, you know? I'm not the sort of, you know, maybe some people who enjoyed making their own buildings had fun, but no, that's not my thing, you know? The Cell Sage was the most interesting because it was basically a mini game that was writ large, and there's actually a game, a web flash game. I think it's called Agario. Yeah, Agario. Do you ever play Agario?
Mm-hmm.
AGAR.io, for the people who are listening, play it. It is a game in which you play a blob that's eating other blobs, and you, the only way you can eat those blobs is if you're larger. And you could shoot yourself out, but that means you're half the size you were. And if you're huge, you don't want to go after the small things because it's just going to be too much trouble, and you're going to get yourself popped, and they're faster than you. But it's so funny when you're still small, and you see these things that are like 20 times larger, and you're just wandering by. These lumbering giants.
That does sound familiar. I remember playing a game where you would eat stuff and you'd become bigger, and then suddenly you'd have to go after the bigger stuff and again.
But that was Spore's cell phase. Agar.io is that phase as a fully functioning game. And it is hilarious. And it is fun to play. It is that it is one of the best simple concepts that they ever that's been on a web flash game. I mean, check it out, everybody can. AGAR.io. It is really hilarious. Getting back to Spore though. Then the spin-off came, Dark Spore. Which took go ahead.
I didn't even know they made a game after Spore that was like a successor.
Oh yeah, Dark Spore, in which they took the Spore creation kit, so you can create your own nasty-looking aliens with spikes and all that stuff, and it had a full-fledged, it was like Diablo, except with the Spore engine.
Hmm.
But here's the problem, you can't play Dark Spore anymore because EA shut off the servers, and you can't play the game without the servers, which makes zero sense. It's like saying you can't play Diablo 2 without the servers.
You never made an offline mode, it's all DRM.
No, just Google search Darkspore.
That's
it
a shame.
Like they had to make the they had to salvage the game somehow. Yeah, but the servers closed in March of 2016.
That's unfortunate.
And rendered the game completely unplayable. It was one of those games that required a persistent broadband internet connection. So,
this looks nice. That's a real shame they didn't make it a single player experience for people, or at least a connect to other people and generate a temporary world or whatever and just have fun. That's a real shame.
Yeah. And that connection, that online connection, was basically a DRM scheme. There was no.
Mm-hmm.
This was nakedly. And like I said, I don't know why they just don't make a version that you could play without needing the servers. By the way, do you know who's the composer of Darkspore?
Who?
Who composed the music? Junkie XL. For those who don't know who that is, that's Thomas Hulkenberg. He was the one who did the score to Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, nice.
So, again, you can't even... Well, I guess you could enjoy the music from Darkspore on Steam. I mean, not on Steam, I mean on YouTube. But yeah, this caused a major outcry back in March. But you can still play Spore. Spore is playable. Not that I'd want to. Here's the thing. Every time I go back to Spore and say, maybe this time I'll enjoy myself. No, I'm not enjoying myself. Uninstall. And it's a real shame. That was a game that I was waiting for years. After Will Wright showed that demo at, I think it was GDC, like in 2003, 2004. Yeah, now he's Google searching Darkspore.
No, I already did that. I looked at it.
No, I'm talking about
that's why I was saying it's a shame. It looked like a nice game, looked like people would have fun with that kind of thing, and EA just didn't give a shit, I guess, and just...
No.
Just, you know, shut it all down because they...
I would love to ask why they felt the need to not just patch Darkspore. I'm willing to guarantee you pirates are still playing it now. Getting back to Spore now. This was the end of Will Wright at Maxis Sport. After that, he didn't make another game, if I remember correctly. SimCity and The Sims, they were all out of Will Wright's control. And right now, you know, I have Sims 4. I haven't played it. And the thing is that, you know, the biggest thing right now is the Laundry DLC, which people voted for. People wanted Laundry. That was their number one request in The Sims 4. Laundry.
Yeah, my wife is very happy that she has Laundry in The Sims now, actually.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
It also,
I don't know why, but
didn't that DLC also add more jobs in it?
Yep.
Okay.
I know there's the veterinarian stuff, and then there's other jobs, I think. I haven't really paid it too much attention.
You see, I do laundry in real life. Is it like Chris Donnell in Batman Returns doing the ninja laundry? Remember that? He was doing ninja laundry.
I think they like the realism of having dirty clothes laying around and then
I guess, but you know, it's just amusing to me that laundry is awesome in The Sims. I'm trying to remember if in The Sims, Sims 2 or Sims 3, if anybody ever actually did do laundry in them. I don't think they did. I think they just put their clothes back in the drawer. That's all they did.
Well, there were custom made laundry machines, but they didn't do anything. They were just like decorative.
Yeah, so actually, over the course of 4 games, this is the first time you ever had laundry in The Sims.
Yeah.
So you played Spore, Scott.
Yes, I did. And like I said, I always felt like I was ending up making the same creature. I didn't seem to have enough options.
That TJ was going on about.
Well, no, not that creature. I'm a little bit more creative than that. But it just the phases just felt very quick, very rushed. I didn't feel like I was being able to take my time. It just felt like, okay, you're done with the cell stage. Now move on to the multi-cell stage and eat a little more critters and then get out onto shore and then start creating your tribe. And I just wasn't really interested because it's, I don't know.
People said that the game actually started with the space phase, but I was never really interested in the space phase. You know, I wanted to create creatures. And here's the thing also. You could unlock body parts and different body types, right? And that was really fun when you, in the cell phase, you remember there was a body part that allowed you to suck the innards out of, it was a proboscis that allowed you to suck the innards out of other creatures. You didn't eat them, you sucked them out like a straw. Too bad those parts were useless when you started walking on stage. The part will be there, but it didn't do anything. And that's the problem I had, was that, you know, there was a disconnect between. There are actually stages that were removed, like in. There used to be an underwater stage. You didn't just go from cell to land. You had cell to water to land. You know? And.
Yeah. I just. Like I said, it was just so quick and over. You didn't get much time to really decide on those parts to use, and they just seemed streamlined into, okay, I'm going to pick a pincer, and now I'm going to put on a mouth and eyes, and it just ended up looking the same. And it was just...
I think I remember
the video. I remember this big predator, not predator, it was like alien looking thing, like from the movies Aliens, and it had all these prongs and it just looked awesome, and I was like, how do I make that? I have no clue.
Here's the thing, I always loved it despite myself in the creature phase when all of a sudden a gigantic kaiju version of one of the animals would start stomping through. It's like a 50 foot version of one of the creatures that you created. It's like, whoa, what the
yeah, it just But no, it was very disappointing, and it just seemed so. It was just way too cute. It was way too cutesy and not enough science.
Yeah, I wanted National Geographic, you know, Mutual of Omaha.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
And they sacrificed, you know, physics for that game, because, like I said, when I created a creature, if I wanted to create, say, a giant herbivore, it wouldn't happen. Because I'd get a jelly leg thing that just walked like it was on stilts. You know?
Yeah.
Anyways. Like I said, I hope someday they make a Spore 2, or at least attempt to, and fix what was bad with it. I just, you know, it was such a wasted opportunity. Like I said, the original name of Spore was Sim Everything. Oh, well. I guess we'll just have to settle for, you know, Civilization 6. At least there, you know, there is some sort of continuity. Anyways, we're going to go to game news. And the first game news is Xbox Head tweets support of PS4 Xbox One crossplay on Fortnite. And this comes to us from Destructoid. Microsoft's Phil Spencer made an appearance on Twitter this weekend to briefly show support of Epic Games' juggernaut Fortnite going crossplay on all formats. After a Fortnite fan posted a tweet telling Spencer they were hoping a crossplay to be implemented between the PS4 and Xbox One players, the Xbox head simply and succinctly replied, "Me too." And two is a number. This was then amusingly followed up by the Fortnite Twitter themselves, who replied to Spencer with, "We three." But currently, as all of this is merely wishful thinking, as Sony is notoriously against the concept of PS4 players cross-fraternizing with Xbox owners, while both companies are willing to cross-play with a PC format in games such as Street Fighter V, Minecraft, and Killer Instinct, Sony seems dead set against Team Green and Team Blue meeting on the battlefield. The Fortnite party is set to get even larger, with recent news that not only is a mobile port of the game on the way, but that too will feature crossplay with the other formats. The Battle Royale player base is set to grow and grow. Wait a minute, I think we're burying the lead here. How are you going to play Fortnite on a mobile? Seriously.
You get a USB controller.
I guess.
Yeah, I find it baffling that people can play Minecraft on a mobile. That just seems... No.
Well, Minecraft, you see, here's the thing. Minecraft is more amenable to touchscreen because, you know...
No.
5 million no's from Scott.
No. I've tried to play games like that where it's first person with a controller and it's always slower than the mouse. Always. It's like, I don't have anything against console games. I like console games.
I'm not talking about console. I'm talking about mobile.
Yeah, I know. And mobile's even worse. Mobile, I'm touching. Oh. So a zombie's coming after me. Just one zombie. And I'm going to have to tap. Okay, now hit the attack button. Oh, no, he's pushing me. And it's just one zombie. Imagine a whole bunch of zombies or Pikmin or freaking the Wither coming after me or Blaze. It just, no, it's not going to happen. I want my mouse. I want my keyboard. Because mobile, it's not going to work.
I'm going to buy a PC Master Gaming Race t-shirt.
I'm not trying to be PC Master Gaming Race.
This
game just doesn't work on mobile.
Here's the PC Gaming Show. I'm going to, if they have a good t-shirt, like the one from the first one, I'll send it to you.
I would agree.
Because TJ didn't like the Nerd to the Core t-shirt. He gave me his because he didn't like it. I only wear it just because it's gray and I can wear it around the house.
Yeah, it wasn't my style. It didn't fit my niche. But I would say this. The Fortnite is complicated. And yeah, I wouldn't play it on an iPhone. I might play it on an iPad if I had a mini USB controller.
Anyways,
and I guess all I have to say about that is a Fortnite for Switch win.
Ooh.
Well, Fortnite to Switch is a foregone conclusion. Come on. It is. It's a foregone conclusion.
I wish Sony would be more amenable to doing crossplay because there's
nothing but wins like. It always feels like mommy and daddy are fighting again when we hear these conversations about PS4 and Xbox One crossplay. They got in a fight a long time ago and they still don't want to talk to each other. So
I mean, Microsoft didn't want to cross-platform play with a PS4. With I think it was Final Fantasy 14.
Yes.
They said no. And, you know, they did. That's why you didn't see DC Online for a long while.
And then, of course, there was Minecraft, where Microsoft owned Minecraft, and so Sony said, "Nah."
No, well, they still play Minecraft. You just can't you just can't, you know. Sony would be idiotic to ban Minecraft from their systems, considering how...
No, they were saying... we don't want...
PS Vita.
We don't want our Sony children mingling with your dirty Microsoft kids.
Well, you know,
Sony has a history of not wanting to cross-play or work with other companies, it seems like, because they were going to do a console with Nintendo way back when.
It was going to be called the Nintendo PlayStation.
Yeah. That was completely Nintendo's fault, too, because Nintendo was still doing the thing where they charged out the ass for any sort of third-party licensing.
Well, remember, Atari screwed up big time because Nintendo wanted to do their console in the United States, and they said, you want to make it up Atari, and Atari screwed that one up. Can you imagine the Atari Entertainment System? Is that a Nintendo Entertainment? The Atari Nintendo Entertainment System.
Wow.
Anyways.
So many parallel dimensions we'd have to visit to see what those consoles would look like.
But Nintendo's redeemed itself as all is right in the world of Nintendo, and everybody can say, Nintendo.
We'll see. I'm keeping a wait and see on the Switch. Because Nintendo finds ways to fuck itself over so much.
By this point, they've sold twice as much.
How many consoles the Wii sold? Are you going to consider that a successful console?
I would. I mean, it had tons of shovelware. But...
Yeah.
I had fun with the Wii. I miss my Wii, in fact.
Oh, we still have our original Wii because it's how we play GameCube games.
Stop playing with your Wiis.
Why couldn't it be a revolution? That would have been cool. Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, remember, I think one of the Ataris was nicknamed the Dolphin? Or was that Apple or was that Xbox?
I'm not sure, but
I'm glad at least Microsoft acknowledged that Project Scorpio was a cool name for a console and named its launch machine, the Xbox One X Project Scorpio Edition.
Yeah.
Although I wish they would have done more with it. I would have liked a red Xbox One X instead of just something printed on the front. Scorpio. Who cares?
I thought there was a red... I saw a red Xbox.
Yeah, there are special consoles. Like the Gears of War 3 Xbox 360 bundle had a red Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so tempted to buy it, just even though it was $100. So tempted just to buy it for the looks. They had a special... they gave their employees at Microsoft a white Xbox One. And everybody wanted one. If Microsoft had released a special Xbox One white edition... That would have sold like gangbusters. It was so cool looking. Oh, well. Maybe they'll make you can create your own colored controllers, you know, the Xbox One Lab. It'd be nice if you could do the same thing with your actual console. The only problem is that if you send it in for repair, well, sometimes they have to replace the console. That's the only reason I can think of why they don't do that. So you have to replace your... you got back a black one. Oh, well. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, TJ.
Alrighty. Warhammer Vermintide 2 has already sold Warhammer Vermintide 2 has already sold 500,000 copies from videogamer.com. Fat Shark Games has announced that Rat-tastic sequel Warhammer Vermintide 2 on PC has sold over 500,000 copies since its debut on March 8th.
Now, let's stop for a moment. Let's stop. That's 500,000 copies on PC. Keep in mind, these are not the sort of sales you see on a PC normally. You see those numbers on consoles. Moving on.
Yeah. Console owners will get their slice of the limb dismembering action with the game due to hit PS4 and Xbox One at a later date. For now, its developer is giving itself a firm pat on the back for its success with the PC version. We are proud and happy that gamers worldwide have taken Warhammer Vermintide 2 to their hearts, being Fat Shark CEO Martin Walland. 500,000 games sold was a milestone that we had, but not less than a week after release.
I think 500,000 games was their end goal.
Yeah. Warhammer Vermintide 2 expands on its predecessor by offering a more flexible career path and the new contracts feature as players band together to take on the combined might of the Chaos Army and Skaven forces. A release date for the PS4 and Xbox One versions of Warhammer Vermintide 2 has yet to be announced.
You know why it sold so well?
But there won't be cross-play between PS4 and Xbox One.
You know why it sold so well? Because there's no Left 4 Dead 3.
Exactly. I actually read a thing today that's a fun headline today. Somebody asks, well, Vermintide 2 is here. Do we really even need Left 4 Dead 3?
Yes, yes, yes. 1,000 times yes. Yes, as much as I like beating in the brains of rats. And I did enjoy the first Warhammer Vermintide. And I'm trying to remember what it was. Because here's the thing. For those of you who don't know, in the world of Warhammer, there's a prophecy. And it says that when the end of the world is coming, it'll be overrun by Skaven, who are basically giant rats. So this entire thing is basically the end of the world is happening and rats are invading. Which I guess is the same thing as Left 4 Dead, because the undead have risen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you've played the first one, right?
I have.
Oh, okay. I played the first one on PC. They also gave away the first one for free on Xbox One, which makes sense because they're trying to drum up interest. The controls in the Xbox One version are kind of wonky, so if I'm going to play it, I'm probably going to play it on PC. That's it? No other comments on this?
I would actually pick this one up eventually soon, too.
Yeah. Well, if you do, I'll do it, too. I'll get it on PC, and we can have our own little parties. So
I need to check the system requirements for that, because I need to see if my system can actually run it.
Which is basically the people who throw fireballs. But I have been known to play the dwarf. So, Scott, you have not played this. Have you played Left 4 Dead?
No, I haven't played either of those games.
See, here's the thing about the games. Even if you're not a big fan of shooters, it's all about the co-op. So it's all about being with your friends or other people and just face. And it's strange. The more hopeless the situation, the more fun the game gets. Because it's sort of like the entire world is pushing on you and you're trying your best to push back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you can get some interesting reactions that way.
Yeah.
But as far as Warhammer goes, it seems to have a really cool lore to it. I've seen some of it with like this religious fanatic group that goes around, you know, declaring heresy for the Emperor.
I think you're thinking of Warhammer 40,000.
Oh, it's not the same thing?
Warhammer 40,000 is a sci-fi spin-off of it.
Yeah, and in that you have the human emperor, human god emperor, sort of like Dune, and he just sends all these people out on these crusades. I mean, that's exactly what Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine was all about.
Okay.
And you're fighting the Lords of Chaos. Now, you probably already know this, but the reason why Warcraft and World of Warcraft and Diablo all exist is because Blizzard, when they were... I forgot the name of the company they were at the time. But they tried to acquire the rights to Warhammer, and they couldn't. So they just basically made Warhammer, but called everything different names. I mean, right. you can't really copyright orcs and humans.
No.
Although maybe they decided. See, in Warhammer, orcs are spelled with a K. So, are you still playing Warhammer 2, TJ?
Nah, I finished up my. So I played a campaign with the High Elves, and then I played with the Skaven, and then I played with the Lizardmen. And I didn't feel like playing with the Dark Elves, so I have kind of fallen off of it for a bit.
Huh.
But I enjoyed my time with that game. I really liked the Lizardmen. I've always liked the Lizardmen in the Warhammer universe.
I wonder if you get to play as a Lizardman. I know you're not going to play as a Skaven or a Chaos.
That would be interesting, because in the lore, the Lizardmen and the Skaven are mortal enemies.
Maybe these.
It would be cool to at least see, like, if it's not already in the core game where you have a part where you work with the Lizardmen, it would be cool to see a DLC where that happens.
Hmm. Well, I will say this: Fat Shark knows its lore. It really knows the lore. So we'll see.
Now, granted, lizard men don't like humans that much either, but they...
Yeah, well, when you have rats running around, what is your options, really?
I think you'd rather kill the plague spreading freaks of nature that eat everything as opposed to being embittered towards some dirty little humans.
Yeah, well, now you have the Chaos Army joining the mix of the Skaven, which should be interesting.
Indeed.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Writer Drew Karpshin leaves Fire. What am I saying? Writer Drew Karpshin leaves BioWare for a second time. This comes to us from Eurogamer. Influential BioWare writer Drew Karpshin has left BioWare for a second time. He's left to pursue personal projects and work on 20th Century Fox's expanding gaming division, Fox Next, and the new studio Frogbank Entertainment. Frogbank is a 20-person studio in San Francisco run by another former BioWare member, Daniel Erickson, a founder of BioWare Austin and the Star Wars The Old Republic team. He worked at BioWare for several years before leaving in 2012. Former BioWare leader Alex Freed is also at Frogbank. Freed left BioWare also in 2012. Drew Karpshin was lead writer on Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, Star Wars The Old Republic, and Mass Effect 1 and 2. Karpshin left BioWare in 2012 to write his own Chaos Born trilogy of fantasy novels before returning to the studio in 2015. He had been working on BioWare's big new sci-fi action shooter, Anthem, which will launch in spring 2019. God help us all. Karpshin said he is, quote-unquote, very excited to be part of Frogbank team, but couldn't say what he's working on. VentureBeat's Frogbank's announcement story said that the studio's debut project will be a Telltale style of episodic story games. So, Drew Karpshin, here's the problem I have with Drew Karpshin, just so you know. His idea for what was going on in Mass Effect 3 was that all the suns were turning into dark energy, and that the only choice people had was to let the Reapers reap them, or else everybody dies in the galaxy. Mm. Had that been the ending to Mass Effect 3, I would have thrown my console out the window. Not a good idea, Drew. No, absolutely not. Either you die with a galaxy or you allow the Reapers to harvest you and die in a different way. No, I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. You thought that people were angry at the ending of Mass Effect 3, what they had? Oh, God. There would have been rioting on the streets if they used that ending.
Yeah. I wish him the best. But, yeah, those were some bad choices.
Now, I sent you guys a video. I know Scott saw it. But there's a new gaming coming out from Focus Home Interactive called The Council, in which they're finally taking a Telltale game sort of thing and making it also have strong RPG elements. So, like, you could choose what class you are and what your skills are, and the game would change depending on what your class and skill were. And I'm hoping this is going to do a similar thing. And Drew Karpshin knows how to write dialogue, you know. And he knows how to write personalities. So it'll be interesting.
I really hope they are able to deliver the branching paths that they're promising, because it sounds like it's supposed to be very divergent. You know, you have multiple endings per episode, and then because of those endings to the next episode would be even more divergent. Mm-hmm. So that's promising, a big promise there that not a lot of games seem to be able to deliver.
You know, Focus Home Interactive, though, has been doing some daring stuff. I mean, we've already talked at length about Vampyr and Call of Cthulhu. I know that Drew is still salivating over Vampyr.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's probably my most anticipated game of 2018.
Yeah.
If that one sucks, I'm hanging up my credentials forever.
Nice little. It must have been an accidental pun there. If Vampyr sucks, well, isn't that what you're supposed to be doing in the game in the first place?
True.
The thing about Vampyr that depresses me is there's no way to get around the fact that you're gonna have to kill people. It's just choosing who to kill.
That's not true. When I interviewed with the lead developer, he told me there is a way to go through that game without killing a single person.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That's sort of like a Mass Effect's golden ending, isn't it?
Yeah. He told me that you can go through that game and kill everyone, or you can go through that game and kill no one. It's possible.
I also saw a new video with Call of Cthulhu, and here's the part that's probably going to slap me in the face. The game is going to have red herrings, and it's going to give you evidence that you think is there but isn't because you're going nuts.
Yeah.
And you...
Yeah.
And that... That you really, the game is going to make sure that you really can't trust your senses in that game.
One of my friends recently showed me that he has the one of the Call of Cthulhu board games, like the full setup.
Arkham Horror.
Arkham Horror.
Eldritch Horror. Eldritch Horror is the newer one. Arkham Horror is the one he's probably talking about because it has a metric fuck ton of expansions.
Yes, he has Arkham Horror and a bunch of the expansions for it.
Yeah, that's why I never bought Arkham Horror, is because if you get the base game, oh, I better get the Yellow King, oh, I better get this, oh, I better get that expansion, oh, I better get the one with the Egyptian mummy expansion and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's about a good £5 worth of collectibles, boards, and...
I have Scythe, damn it. I don't need more. And Scythe is pretty straightforward.
But yeah, So I actually want him to explain the game to – I actually want to sit down and do a playthrough of Arkham Horror as we get closer to Call of Cthulhu.
I always take the professor, the good old professor, because he has very low health, but he has a metric crap ton of willpower.
Yeah. I guess I'll find out. It sounds fun.
It sounds like you'd want to be the stage magician guy.
I do like deceiving people.
There's also Sam Diamond, who is the detective. Oh, no, he's the mobster, actually. Oh, one of them's a mobster, the other one's a detective. Then, you have a homeless guy, and his special power is he has his dog.
Good.
So maybe you want to be the homeless guy with his dog.
You can leave that behind for the Eldritch Horrors while I make my escape.
That reminds me, if you're playing Dead of Winter, it's sort of like... you have to sacrifice someone, you know. Oh well, the dog gets sacrificed. We all had Sparky burgers later.
That's just sad.
Well, the dog's name is Sparky in Dead of Winter. For those who don't know what Dead of Winter is, it's basically The Walking Dead in the middle of winter. Although Walter White does make a cameo. these are all, you know, it's. It is the dead. It is the Walking Dead, but they change the names of everybody, so it's not really the Walking Dead, but it might as well be. But there's one guy who's a chemist, who looks, sounds, and acts exactly like Walter White.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah. So, by the way, I should mention that Batman, the new Batman episode, is going to be on the 27th. And here's the thing. Now, there is a decision made late in the last chapter. And I'm not going to spoil it, but it makes a character one allegiance or another. According to Telltale, the last episode is not going to merge it back together again. It's going to have two separate paths, depending on what you did. So, spoiler here. Just close your ears and say, nah, if you're listening to the podcast. Although, I don't know if it's that much of a spoiler, but depending on your actions, the Joker could either become a villain or a vigilante. And
neat!
So, I didn't like the vigilante thing. I preferred him becoming a villain because what happens is that Harley runs up to say, I knew you had it in you, Mr. J! So, yeah, I'm gonna keep that version of the Joker. Unrepentantly evil.
That's still a nice little twist. J.
What?
That's still a nice little twist.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. He's still murderous, so I don't think he's going to be on Batman's side as a vigilante either.
Sure. He'd be more like a Red Hood, which was his original.
He'd be an insane Red Hood.
Well, he was the original Red Hood anyways.
Yeah, but this version is insane, and he's not Jason Todd. No, Jason Todd is Arkham Knight. Notice the dry sarcasm in my voice. Yeah, the Arkham Knight's going to be an all-new character in the Batman mythos. He's going to be his own he's Jason Todd. When they started showing the scenes of Jason Todd getting the crowbarred by the Joker. Oh, fuck. Jason Todd is the Arkham Knight. There's no other reason to be showing me this except for that.
I see now. I always wondered why you were so upset about that. I remember you not liking this.
There's a lot of reasons to be upset with Arkham Knight, and thankfully I didn't play it on PC, so I never had the same problems that the PC owners had.
They released it again, they recalled it again.
They released it finally. Just buggy as anything else. No, the reasons I had were A, the gameplay was watered down. The Predator missions were not included. You had to buy them as DLC, and the Predator missions in the game were so easy as to be laughable because you're in an open world and you can just hide anywhere you like. It's not a cramped location. They had a tank game and a Batman game. I didn't play a Batman game to be riding around in a tank fighting other tanks. And I love what someone suggested. I forgot who, but they said, you know, what the Scarecrow should have done was just strap people in front of those tanks. What is Batman going to do? He's not supposed to kill. He sent robo-tanks, but you strap some innocent people into the even innocent thugs in the front of those tanks. He's not going to be able to do anything. He's not going to shoot thugs. Of course, he shoots rubber bullets, quotation marks, and he runs over people, but of course they're caught in the electric field and flung at 50 miles an hour away. Yeah, they'll survive that. He breaks every bones in a thug's body, but guess what? He'll live. He'll live sucking through a straw, never able to walk again, but he'll live. I like in Injustice 2 when Robin calls him out. Yeah, you gave him all brain injuries, and you consider that, you know, I'll just take Zaz here and kill him. I'll just slit his throat in front of you. Problem solved. Damian Wayne.
Zaz, well, I mean, Zaz deserves it, but...
yeah. But no one likes Robin in the game. Except Superman.
Yeah.
Everybody barely tolerates him. You really got to play with the Turtles in Hellboy there, Scott. I mean, TJ.
I really want to. I just don't like... I only really play Injustice for Ranked, and I don't want to do that 3 out of...
Are you still addicted to Dragon Balls?
I am.
You know, here's the thing. I didn't know it. It's supposed to be Dragon Balls... Dragon Balls Fighter.
Dragon Ball Fighters.
Fighters.
Is what
right?
I hear.
It's not
that
Dragon Ball Fighter
dumb.
Z. It's Dragon Ball Fighters. And they capitalize
that sounds...
the Z. So it should be Dragon Ball Fighter Z, damn it.
Right. Because that would go with the naming... That would go with the naming that they've done in the past. It makes no sense that... You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say it. Even if someone from Bandai Namco tells me, oh, it's actually Dragon Ball Fighters, I'm going to say, you're wrong. Get your facts straight.
I wonder if it's supposed to be Dragon Ball Fighters, Dragon Balls, and people said that sounds stupid. Just make it Dragon Ball Z. So let me ask you a question, the both of you. I know I haven't, but did you play the Dragon Ball Z card games?
No.
Okay. Just wondering. Did you watch the anime?
Yeah, that's the first season. The very first one, Dragon Ball, which was interesting, I think, at the time. I mean, I was a kid when I watched it, so I enjoyed
was this
it.
Before they started making it up as they went along?
Yeah, I think so.
Look, I have a new Super Saiyan power that makes me allow me to punch a planet.
Yeah, and have power over 9,000, whatever that means. And, so
isn't that part of the card game, actually? I think that's a reference to the card game.
No, there's this scene or something where one of these alien fighters is looking at, I guess, Goku or Gohan or, I don't know, one of them. They all go like, and he's like, his strength is, oh my god, it's over 9,000!
That's what I mean. Isn't that, maybe it's a stat
joke
in the card game?
It's actually a card, I do believe, in the card game. It's its own card.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I meant. Oh, I should mention, I've been playing a lot of XCOM 2 again.
Yeah?
I'm hoping that they release another expansion like they teased, you know, like it was rumored last week. Maybe if I'm playing XCOM 2, they'll say, oh, wait a minute, there's a lot of people playing XCOM 2. Maybe we should start making a new expansion.
Yeah.
I'm finding that people are just getting into War of the Chosen now.
Didn't we hear... I think we did.
Yeah, we did a story on the rumor that there's going to be another expansion XCOM 2.
It's kind of like at this point, we all want to see him move towards Terror of the Deep from the Deep, don't we?
Yeah, but that would be XCOM 3. I just want more to do in XCOM 2. That's all I'm saying. Or even, you know what? You know what I'd like? Forget a full blown expansion. How about a developer made, a clothing pack? You know, more options for how your soldiers look. That'd be good too. I know there's a lot of fan made mods, but still, a guy can dream, can he? Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll see about. I hope they take out all that sucked about XCOM 2 because it's not a perfect game. Neither was XCOM, but XCOM 2 did things slightly not as good. Although I will say I do appreciate the fact that they extended the timers because in the last mission I did, I executed a perfect turkey shoot. I had all my guys set up with Overwatch. My sniper went, boom, got one guy. And he actually got an execution, so it was an instant kill. And then when the other characters scattered, they were just shredded to pieces, and there was nobody left after all the Overwatches. It was like, wow. It was actually a perfectly planned execution. It was like the Red Wedding, except it was aliens. Uh-huh.
It's the kind of thing where you gotta have doves flying and choir singing as it happens.
I wish, you know what, at some point I'm gonna have to get myself a DVR, a game DVR. I just post videos, add the sound effects, you know, do the Blue Danube or something like that, you know, and just, it's like, I think it would make really good machinima, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so the question of the week is, what was your best planned moment in a game? And by that, I mean you meticulously set up everything to, you know, it's like Hannibal in the A-Team. I love it when a plan comes together where you just set up everything and it just went through perfectly.
Sorry.
I know that TJ was cutting the tails off dragons. I don't know if that was.
Wow, you make me sound like a sociopath. They deserved it. I want you to know that.
Well, let's get Scott's. So Scott, TJ cut off the tail of a dragon in Monster Hunter World, and awesome. Then he had some cat people hold it down while he beat its brain with a mace.
Specifically, I went up in the fight against Dorathian. I don't know if you've gotten Dorathian yet, but he killed me 3 times, and then
I knocked some rocks loose.
I knocked some rocks loose. A waterfall took us down to the very floor of the ancient forest, and then I jumped on his back, cut his tail off, led him over to some cats that threw vines at him, and then I jumped off and hit him in the face with an axe a whole bunch until he moved no more.
You see, now if you both were co-oping, you could have watched that, Scott. You could have gotten it. It would have been like a mob movie, you know, like, yeah, this is from Vito, bang.
I think like,
TJ says hello, bang.
I think pretty much. You do have to do a lot of planning with Monster Hunter, so I can understand that. But for me, I think it would have to be one of my Civ games, and I think. One of my satisfying moment in Civ would be Civ 4, where I had just started out, and I was out exploring. I had gotten some goody huts where I got some warriors, and then I found France in the middle of a river, bending river, winding around it, and it had like 3 or 4 gems there, so it was going to be a very rich city in the future.
You see,
so
here's the thing. If it had been coal or saltpeter, I would have just said, everybody attack right now. Don't even bother waiting. Just attack.
That's what I did. I attacked. I attacked for the gems, because in Civ 4, you get like ridiculous amount of trade just for those gems. Right. In Civ 4, it was kind of unbalanced, I guess. You could... get like 10 trade per tile with those and have like two or three food.
See, and what was just... so great about Civ 3 was that it changed it up in which you couldn't get, say, musket men unless you had saltpeter. And it's sort of like now you had to go in a fight if you wanted that. Or coal, especially coal. You needed the coal. Yeah.
Well, you're not going to see coal or saltpeter in the beginning
of the game.
Yeah,
but when it popped up, it's like, oh, it's in their territory. Oh, guess what? We had an alliance. Well, I don't want to trade for it. I just want to kill you now.
Yeah, that is an option.
So, okay. So you just decided, you know what? Those gems are mine.
Yes. And that was like my second city. So it was very profitable game. I was playing as the Mayans, so I had... Wow. I think I had a bonus to the beginning unit, and it was just really satisfying just to take that city from them.
Yeah. So how about you, TJ? What was your best planned moment?
So I had a match in Dragon Ball FighterZ recently. I often use Gotenks as my final anchor character, who's the one with the giant hair. I mean, they all have that, but
they all have more giant, except for what's his face was bald, the green guy.
He's the small kid that has even more giant hair than most of the other fighters in the game.
Is he blonde?
He's an extremely trolly character for what I've done.
But he's not the blonde guy.
And I like finishing, and I like finishing with his ultimate attack, because what he does is he turns them into a beach ball, knocks them into the, bounces them up high into the air, and then spikes them down into the ground. And it's an extremely long and drawn out attack.
Are you sure this is Dragon Ball Z and not Looney Tunes starring Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck?
It is basically a Looney Tunes moment in Dragon Ball. But
you actually had a Dragon Ball in Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yep. And I was going against a Vegeta, and he almost finished me off. But I wanted to end with that attack, so I power. In that game, you have like a setup where you can power up your character and gain special meter, and I was doing that because I had a lot of health to burn. And he caught me, knocked me into the air, and knocked me a little and. He tried to do his super on me, and I recovered, and then I recovered over the beam of his super. Like, he fires out a giant beam of energy, and I recovered over the beam, and then I forward dashed over the beam until it ran out, and then I landed right in front of him as he was still in the final animations of his attack.
Like a cartoon in itself. It was like you created a cartoon moment that you wouldn't have been surprised to see in the actual anime.
Like, I can only imagine what was going through his mind at that moment, because he literally got
so
to watch
another
me.
Another player that you were doing this to, not
yes,
well.
This was a ranked match. He got to watch his beam go right under my feet as I sailed overhead, and then I landed right in front of him and shot him with my super and ended the match. And I'm happy he didn't rage quit. Because I know a lot of people that would have.
That reminds me, I'm finding myself really skilled with Leonardo. I'm doing combos that I never really did in a fighting game before. Like, I'm going from one combo, one move to the next, like, super smooth, like a cartoon. So I think Leonardo's going to be my main for the rest of the game. Even the character I did the best with, Black Canary, I am not controlling her like I do Leonardo.
I've heard a lot of people say that Donatello is really, really, really good for
The developers love Donatello. As a matter of fact, one of the developers said that he was his main in the entire game.
He's got the longest reach on his normals out of any of the characters in the game.
But he also can juggle for a long while. He can juggle you. And Injustice 2 is not a game that has a lot of juggling. It has some. But Donatello does SNK style juggling.
Yeah, he's absurd. And so do you like Leonardo more though?
Yeah, because here's the thing: I'm finding myself evading attacks and jumping over attacks and making my own attacks while I'm doing that. It's like I'm playing like one of the players you'd see in a ranked match. you know. So I'm able to beat the AI on two levels higher than me, and by that I don't mean level as in level 5 levels. No, I mean medium, hard, difficult, you know, that sort of thing. So two difficulty levels higher than I normally would. So yeah, I'm really, I guess I've bonded with Leonardo. I haven't even looked at his move lists yet. I'm just doing all of that naturally. At some point I will look at the moves list and actually get even more, you know, more planning when it comes to that. So yeah, Leonardo is my main now. It's no longer Black Canary.
Hey.
I tell you, I was enjoying, oh damn, what is his face? No, not him. Oh yeah, I really was enjoying the Flash. Although I will say this, whenever I play the Flash, I always play as Jay Garrick, because I'd rather play as Jay Garrick. He's a better, he's a much more lovable character. So, anyways, look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us some iTunes comments. And I am at Jonah Falcon on Twitter.
I'm at Johnny Chugs.
I'm at Al Bouchard.
And at some point, we will do the Skin of Evil episode of Star Trek. But I can't because I don't have time. And I also have an audition tomorrow for a low-budget film, which I think I actually have a good chance of getting. Because I play a nerdy dad who's both an IT tech and also a wrestling team coach who comes out late in life. And hilarity ensues as he tries to struggle with his now-realized sexuality. And I'm guessing, as the coach of a high school wrestling team, yeah, I can see problems arising from that. I haven't read the script. I'm just guessing.
Well, good luck.
Yep. And, you know, if, you know, I'll make sure I mention both of you in my Oscar acceptance speech. Okay. Anyways, we will see you next week.
Have fun gaming, everyone.
Have fun. Be cool. Play games, y'all.